why I do what I do. Why I, so I'm a youth worker in a place called Oxford. Who's out of Oxford? Who's currently sleeping in Oxford?
Whoa!
The room in Oxford.
Yeah.
There's a couple of you. But yeah, I live and work in a place called Cutslow, which is a place in Oxford. I'm a youth worker, as I said. And the reason I got there, the reason I kind of arrived at that job was because basically God brought me there. Okay? God took me on a journey over 7 or 8 years to where I am today, doing what I'm doing. And if you'd asked me when I was probably your age what I'd be doing when I was 25, the answer wouldn't have been being a youth worker in Oxford. Okay? But I am doing exactly what I know God has made me to do, which is amazing. And so, let me tell you a very quick story. I went to South Africa when I was 15 on a rugby trip, and I fell in love with the place. Absolutely loved it. Saw lots of animals and lots of people, and I was like, I want to go back. So when I was 18, I went for 6 months to a place in South Africa and volunteered with young people and children and kind of helped them in school and that sort of thing. I learned a bit of Zulu, although don't test me because I don't know any Zulu anymore. But that led me to kind of question whether I wanted to actually go to university. We were talking about Exeter University just now. I had a place in Exeter. The day before my sister's wedding, that I wasn't going to go to Exeter anymore. Ask me about that. Bit of a mad story. So I decided not to go to university. Instead, went on a gap year again. 2 gap years. Go for it. It's good fun. And ended up in Liverpool as a youth worker or a youth intern doing a gap year, quite similar to the ones that Jacob and John are doing now. So ended up in Liverpool, then got offered a job, then kind of moved to a place called St. Helens, then felt like it was time to leave. So moved back to my mum and dad's house in Stamford, and then kind of had a few interactions with different people. So I went to a job interview in Oxford, so a year and a bit ago, and I was walking around Oxford that day, and someone came up to me and said, "Can you help me to buy some food?" And I said, "Well, I've got no cash, but I can kind of come with you and we can get you a sandwich or something." And on the way to the shop, they turned to me and they said, "I think you've been sent by God to come here." Now, that was bizarre because I don't think they will ever remember that conversation. But for me, that was really, really significant. And what followed was a job interview, a different job interview, and then me getting the job that I've got today. And then I moved to Oxford. All of those different things led me to where I am today. If you looked at each of them individually, you'd go, "Oh, that's a fun story," and not really put them all together. Each step, each small, insignificant, random, confusing step is important, because it helped me get to where I am today. On the screen, there will be a tapestry, or a picture of a tapestry. It looks a bit odd, but each thread tells a story. Each thread holds an important part of the picture. Only when looked at together, they turn into something beautiful. Without each thread, there would be something missing. And so that is why this kind of week, or these talks, are called Grand Designs. Because it's all about God's big picture, how all the stories fit together. This is the story of God, a story which is complicated, beautiful, a story that has twists and turns. There's lots to it. And taking each bit individually, while it's a beautiful story, doesn't tell you the whole thing. But what's beautiful about the story is that it's still being written. It's not done. It's not finished. We are still part of that story. And so we're going to go through 4 big themes. They are, here it comes out, hopefully. Creation. So these are the titles of the talks, okay? Today is creation, but you can get ready if you are like planning ahead and write the next one. So creation, covenant, which is a fun word that we'll talk about tomorrow, salvation, and then renewal. 4 talks, 4 things that we're going to talk about. As I said, today it's creation. So, turn to page 1 of your Bible. We are starting at the very beginning. Now, I know you can all turn to page one, so I want everyone to have their Bibles open. It begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The beginning of the story. God creating everything. In the ancient times, where the Israelites lived, or in the areas around where the Israelites lived, the people that God chose to be his people, there were lots of different myths and legends about how the world came to be. Some people believed that the gods, the ancient gods, went to battle and the earth was formed out of the losing person's body. Others believed that creation only happened so that the gods could create slaves for them so that they would do things for them. There's lots of theories going on about how all this stuff came together. Why it all came together. I want to talk about why this story that we're about to read and we're going to talk about is so different, and why it reveals to us a God is so different to all of those. Genesis was written to help us see that God, the real maker of the heavens and the earth, wasn't like the other not real gods. And his reason for making all of these things was not because he wanted some slaves, but because of a very different reason. We read that God made the world because of love. He wanted people to love. He didn't need a slave people. He didn't need people to serve him or as some kind of, look at me, I'm God and I want some slaves. God made humanity to love and to be loved by them. God is a God of love. In ancient times, as I said before, it was normal to spend about 5 days, if you've got a slide, about 5 days kind of getting a temple ready. So when a temple was built, imagine this, a temple's been built over here for a god. We'll call him Dave. God Dave over here. They built a temple, ta-da, and they spend about 5 days in the lead up to this, getting it decorated, preparing it, making it beautiful, so that on day six, they will put the image of that god in the temple, the statue. So the statue of Dave gets put in the temple. And on day seven, there'll be a party. Okay? Does that make sense? So they build a temple over here. Da, 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 da. They put a picture of Dave in it. Then they have a party. Okay? Do you understand that? Yeah? Makes sense? Okay. Here we have a creation narrative, or a story, that tells a very different picture. In the Genesis account, we read about God who builds, or who creates the world in 5 days, or 6 days, 5 days. We go two slides on. So, 5 days of creating the world. On the sixth day, humans are made. And then on day seven, God rests. Now, what's significant about this is that God's image, or the image that will be put in that temple, is us. Right? We don't need a statue of God because God made us. We're God's image. We're the thing that's supposed to represent God to the world. We're the thing that God has made to look like him, to be like him, to love the world, to serve the world, to look after the world. And then we have a day of rest, or of Sabbath, as it's talked about. Now, I don't think God needed to rest. He's God. But I think God decided to rest, decided to Sabbath, in order to show us what it looks like to to look after ourselves. So we have God, who spends 5 days creating this beautiful world around us, and then the sixth day he creates us and puts us in that creation as his representative, as his image. And then on day seven, God rests. And on the last day, God says, "This is very good." He made the world for humanity and then said it was really good. And what's significant about this, when he says it's really good, is that there are lots of things that put in that box of really good. You see, it was made good. And God talks about the fact that Adam and Eve need to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In other words, work the ground, chop down trees, farm, build things, make things beautiful, keep sheep and goats and what other animals you can think of. Work is good. It's not something that happened because life went wrong and now we have to work. Work was made good. And so when we talk about work being hard and difficult, we'll come to that in a minute. But work was originally made good. So it talks about the fact that we should work the land, take the raw ingredients all around you and make something good, make something beautiful. And so, God made the world good, and he made the world because he loves us. God made the world good, and because he loves us. So here we are, a good world, Adam and Eve, and they're all happy. Life is great, nothing ever goes wrong, and they all live happily ever after. It's not quite true, is it, really? We just have to look around us to see that that isn't the case. So if you turn maybe a page over, where it says a big number 3, and we'll read from verse 1, which says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'You may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it as well." Here we have the two people that God made at the beginning, deciding that they knew best. They decided to ignore God, and they decided to do their own thing. They were tempted to sin, and that's exactly what they did. But in that moment, 4 quite significant relationships were broken. 4 quite significant relationships were not the same as they were before. So if you're making notes, maybe write these 4 things down. My relationships with each other. Our relationship with ourselves. Our relationship with the rest of creation. And our relationship with God. When we made a decision to go against God and do our own thing, we made a decision to define these relationships on our own terms and do what we thought was best. And so let's take each one in turn. Let's look first at humans and each other, or us and other people. There'll be a slide, hopefully, if that's helpful. So four broken relationships. The man, so in verse 12, it says, the man, in chapter 3, verse 12, it says, the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Adam immediately, when God comes to ask what happened, blames Eve. He says it's her fault. They turn to accusation and blame immediately. Their relationship with each other is no longer good. But more than that, we just have to look around us and see that we don't treat people well. We don't treat each other well. There are over 40 million slaves in the world today. I don't think that is us treating people well. People are taking advantage of across the world. And we don't look after those who are in need. Our relationships with each other are not as they should be. We only have to look around to see that humans don't really get on with each other. There are lots of wars, family breakdown, relationship fallout. Things are going wrong. Our relationships with each other break. Then we look in verse 17 at our relationship with creation, the rest of creation. It says, and God is speaking here to the snake. It says, cursed is the ground. No, sorry, he's not speaking to the humans here. It says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. Work becomes hard, becomes difficult. Things are not as they should be. The ground is not kind to us. We decide how we will and will not care for the world. How much we will care for the animals that we want to eat. How much we will allow science and technology to shape our lives. Whether we will decide to stop climate change or look after the trees. We suffer from illness, from pain, from famine, disease, from floods. Life is not how it should be. And our relationship with creation isn't as it should be. And then we move on to our relationship with ourselves. We have tried to define ourselves. We make a decision about who we want to be. We don't get to define ourselves. We don't get to make decisions on who we decide to be on any given day. Mainly because we can't handle that responsibility. We have lost who we are. We don't know our identity. We don't know our purpose. We don't know our calling. We don't know who we are or what we're made for. Identity is such a big topic at the moment, and it's something that has been greatly contested. When sin entered the world, we tried to make these decisions for ourselves. We tried to take that responsibility, but we can't handle it. Which is why there are rising levels of anxiety and other things like that. Trying desperately to grasp control, to define ourselves. But only God can define us. And then we come to our relationship with God. It says in verse 8, when the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God and were walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God said to them, where are you? Our relationship with God broken. Adam and Eve are suddenly hiding and not walking God in the garden anymore. They've created a barrier. And God comes looking for them. But they aren't there anymore. Our free, open, perfect relationship with God was broken. You see, when sin entered the world, it wasn't just that life got a bit more difficult, that things were not as good anymore. It was that all the good, perfect, created things that God gave us when he placed us in the garden were tainted and broken. The very good that God said was good, or God spoke about on day six, was no longer good. And then if we jump back a chapter, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but let me just read it. It says, Then the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The consequences of this sin is ultimately sin entered the world and along with it, death. If you eat from that tree, you will die. And they did. But there is hope. There is good news. You see, here the serpent is the enemy, the tempter. But in Genesis 3, verse 15, it says, and we hear God talking to the serpent, it says, "I will put enmity," which means I will create conflict between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. "He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Who is this man? Who is this person who will crush the serpent's snake? In other words, who is he who will destroy the enemy while suffering themselves? Let me tell you. Let me whisper the answer to you. The answer is Jesus. You see, Jesus came to the world to die for us and to destroy the enemy. So as we come into land and we look forward to what is to come, let me tell you that the answer to the question and the solution to these broken relationships is in fact Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And as we go through these four sessions, we're gonna talk about how it all points to Jesus. How the solution to the problems of the world is Jesus, and how it was God's plan from the very beginning to bring about salvation through Jesus.